To my cue, I need to bring it in for a landing if I'm not done already. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. I would like to say it's an honor and treat to have all of you here today. Good to have Brother Albert here faithfully the last 2 weeks. Amen. Thank you. That's a big boost to Pastor. Thank you for being here. We are excited about that. It's good to see. I know those kids are happy to have Brother Ryan here. Amen. I know they are. And we are excited to have him here. Good to see Brother Kirk here. Amen. Brother Jeremy and Sister Hannah, they've been faithfully coming here lately again. We're excited about that. God's doing good things. Genesis chapter number 2, if you could stand for the reading of the word of the Lord. And he would have it on the overhead had I given it to him. I apologize. Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 7. Genesis 2, verse number 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a what? A living soul. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 2. If you could flip over there, one more short passage of scripture. Ephesians chapter number 2. Verse number 2. It says, wherein in times past you walked according, who were dead. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the prince that now worketh in the children of what? Of disobedience. Verse 3 says, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the lust and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. I want to preach just for a little while on this topic. When the dust settles. When the dust settles. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for everything you've done. But here today, God, I'm asking you to quicken our minds, quicken our spirits, quicken our hearts, God, to what you're trying to pull us and challenge us and stretch us, God. I'm asking you, God, one more time, to breathe hope into a people, God, into this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There is something about dust. Dust is fickle. And I know I preached a message some time back called Dust to Dust. And many of you may remember that message. But I want to preach a little different type of message. And I'm using one of the same scriptures. I understand that. But dust is fickle. Dust migrates. How many of you have walked through your living room? Nobody's going to raise their hand and admit this today. Walk through your living room and there comes a stage with dust that you can walk by and it's so small you don't see it, but yet it's in the air. If the sun is shining just through the window, you can see those little things floating in the air. But then there comes another stage of dust where it gets a little deeper, where you can walk by and just walking by, you can see this little cloud that pops up off the furniture. You can lean down and just give a just a little blow and you see the dust bunnies as they kind of float through the air. And then there's another time that you can walk by and you can take your hand and you can write your name in the dust as it's so thick. How many of you have seen those? Probably every one of those stages in your life at some point in time. But dust is something that the Bible uses as an illustration that represents that we were formed from the dust of the earth. We have the migrating things called dust. Dust in itself is dirty. Dust in itself causes people to sneeze. causes people to retract. It causes people to not want to be around something that is a dusty, dirty environment. But we must all understand in our flesh, in our natural mortal beings, we are dust. We are not what we would want to be around. We're not what we would want to be if we were the ones that really, when we look in the mirror to see who we are, we really are just dust. Dust, when you blow it, it will rise, but yet it always comes back down to settle somewhere. Every single one of our lives, and it seems like we're in a generation today that doesn't want to talk about when the dust really settles. We're in a generation that we make the comment, well, when the dust settles, it'll all come out in the wash. Anybody ever heard those statements? It'll all come out in the wash. When the dust all settles, we'll find out where this all really comes out at. But I think very, very few times do we as individuals take the time to realize that when the dust really settles in life, it will really all come out in the wash. And it really matters, were you washed in the blood of Jesus or were you not? When it really comes out in the wash, do you have that spirit living inside of you so we can have this body changed and quickened to be changed to be like him? There is something that's going to matter when it all comes out in the wash and the dust really settles. As I began to study for this message, I was wrestling with what to preach this week. And yesterday it seemed like it was just kind of churning in my spirit. I came to the church early today and spent some time in prayer and overflowed the baptismal tank. There is little things when the dust all settles. There's probably not much dust underneath the baptismal tank because I sucked it all up with the shop vac. When the dust really settles, though, in our lives, I began to study this message and I began to really delve into things and I began to consider the fact that every single one of our lives, as a pastor, it seems like I spend a lot of my time trying to pull dust bunnies together. The fickle things of life that seems every wind of doctrine can blow you around. It seems like the stuff of work, the stuff of chaos, the stuff of things that just happens in your life, it seems like pushes people side to side. And it seems like I can get them there to stay for a moment. And then there comes the dust again and the wind again. And it pushes it one way or the other. And at times it seems like as a pastor, I spend all of my time trying to get those individuals and put it down into something that can slowly begin to contain and give something a little stability in life. And even though we don't want to admit it, every single one of our lives seems that way. We never really get settled. We never really get comfortable. We never really get to that place where we feel like we've arrived, where we really feel like, and that's a natural thing because none of us really have ever gotten to that place until we get in that place with Jesus Christ. You will never find true happiness outside of a relationship between you and your Maker. You will never really find peace to lay your head on a pillow at night outside of falling back in love with the Peacemaker. You will never really find a happy job. You'll never really find a happy marriage. You'll never really find God-fearing and happy children until you introduce them to a God that loves them as much and more than even a mom and dad does. And you introduce them to that God like we're going to do here in just a little bit as Brother and Sister Kirk has invested time, money, effort, energy in bringing those little girls every single Sunday to a church house and watch them. They may bring their Barbie dolls. And a couple of weeks ago, Brother Kirk, I watched as the one little girl brought that little Barbie doll and she says, Pastor, she's a first-time guest. And to you, it's a comical comment. But to a pastor, it's connecting. It's just a Barbie doll to that little girl. But in her world, she's picturing it as I brought somebody to church today. And I thank God with what we're going to do with those little girls in baptizing one in Jesus' name. You know what? It's not going to stop at a baby doll. There's going to come a day. You know what? They're going to be singing. They're going to be ministering. They're going to be doing things around the house of God and the work of God. And you know what? Every single dollar, every single minute we invest into those children, you know what it's doing? We're gathering dust bunnies. We're pulling those things together. And we're giving it some stability and some spiritual covering so the winds of this world don't blow them to and fro. Seems at times in growing a church, I was out with a pastor on Friday night, a different pastor on Saturday night. It seems like we've just been trying to invest in people lately. And how many knows it's not all just here local, but we have to invest in other people too. As I was talking to one of those pastors, it seems like we're at different elements. He said, I went to the church that I'm at now. I've been pastoring there 13 years, and I started with a great number, and we're down to almost nothing, and then now it's growing back up again. He said, it'll take your breath away. He said, it seems like people are just fickle, and it seems like we're in trying times. And my thought process immediately went, we're at a time where everything that can be shaken will be shaken. There's a purging. There's a pressure. There's things that if the devil can put his X on you, he's got it on you today. He's going to try to shake you. You know what that tells me? I think we're probably living closer. In fact, I know we're living closer to the coming of the Lord than we've ever lived before. And when we look at that and the devil recognizes, I don't have very long, you can bet he's beating that wind with everything he's got, trying to shake anything he can shake. But I think there's a reason the Bible says you've got to be stand steadfast on a rock, have your feet on a firm foundation. You've got to make sure you've got your calling and election sure. We're living in a time where we can't play church anymore. We've got to live for God. We've got to serve God, and we've got to save as many people as we can in the waning years that we have to work. Times, I think, we get distracted by life and the things that are blowing. But let me reassure you to something. There's a reason when Jesus stood on that boat and he calls that wind. He said, peace be still. And guess what? The wind stopped and the wind calmed down. We've got to recognize the devil may be the prince of the air. He may be the prince of the wind. He may be the one trying to shake you. But there's a reason he's only prince and we've got a king. Because the king trumps the prince. And when God says, that's enough. Stop the storm. Stop the wind. Stop the battle. Because now they're not fighting on themselves. But you just hold your peace and I will fight your battle. But we get sometimes so caught up in the winds of life. And the only way to stop that is if you have a covering. The only way to stop that, and I know it's a humorous illustration, but as I was walking out and I got almost halfway to church this morning, I very rarely do this. I felt that just kind of I don't know if it was the Holy Ghost or my humorous side said, go back and get something from the house. And I come to church and I cut up a whole bunch of things. And I want you to see something here. I know it's just an illustration, but what sits inside of here is a whole bunch of paper. But in reality, if you're going to look at that, it's just dust. And you notice as I shake, there's some falls through the cracks. It falls through the porous pieces. And everything that we do in life, it seems like we lose a little bit. You know, every moment that you get up every morning, there's a little bit of you gone that you didn't have before. There's some new that's growing every single day. We are living a daily life of dying. There's a dying influence, and you think it's no big deal, but this fine couple's got a little baby coming. Let me give you a little insight what pastors learned through the years of raising children. Every day that child grows, I lose my influence a little bit more and a little bit more. and a little bit more, and a little bit more. Brother Ryan, you're a little bit advanced stage from them, and you're probably seeing it every day, a little bit more. You teach them to walk, you teach them to eat, you teach them to care for themselves, and then when they can walk on their own, what do? They push daddy back, and they say, I can do this, I can run, I can jump. You know what that is? That's a little bit of dying. That's a little bit of influence that slowly starts to trickle away, and you can look at it however you want to, but we've got to understand, as wind comes, we can protect them at a little age, but there comes a stage that no man, woman, or child can stop the things as the wind begins to blow and times begin to change. And we are in a generation today that the winds are blowing stronger than it's ever blown before. If we're going to see our family saved, if we're going to see our children saved, we better give those kids a covering. We better give those kids something that'll last, something that's solid, a solid foundation. You know why? It excites me every Sunday to see Brother Uriah come in and say, you know what, Sister Christiane, you know what that is? That's my turn signal. You know what? That's excitement with those little kids. You know what? When he's in Sunday school, you know what that turn signal was telling him? Turn into Jesus. Turn the right way. Make the right decisions. And we think it's just Sunday school. But you know what it is? We're investing a covering into those kids that's going to outlive every little piece of paper that you put on a table in a Sunday school class. The markers will dry up. The crayons will break. But there's a life you're investing in. It's going to spend an eternity somewhere. That paper will rot away. It will be burned up in a landfill and destroyed. But that life, hear me now, moms and dads, that child's soul is going to live for eternity somewhere. I believe they're worth investing in. I believe they're worth protecting. I believe they're worth loving. I believe it's worth every dollar and everything that we do. My wife made the comment, and I don't want to pull them out as an illustration, but you know what my wife said, Sister Tara, as we drove up to that birthday party yesterday? She looked at me and she says, I didn't realize that mama was driving this far with those kids every single Sunday just to get to church. Sometimes we don't think about it, but we've got to understand it's worth every dollar. It's worth every mile. It's worth every moment. It's worth baking cookies. It's worth preparing a message. It's worth getting up early and coming to church and pouring my eyes over a message to try to make a difference one more time in your life. You know what? It's tiresome. Brother Cooper made a comment to me. He said, my pastor used to tell me he'd rather work 10 hours than preach one message because it sucked the life out of him. Brother Cooper, I know exactly what he's talking about, but you know what? I'd rather be used up for the kingdom of God than $1 in my pocket any day of the week, because there's something going to live on beyond me. There's something about investing in the kingdom of God that matters. I picture that little devil. Sister Smith says, oh, Lord, he's going to make a mess. I've probably not done anything this silly in church before. But the fact is, I think the devil comes to church with us sometimes. You know what? I think the devil sees us finally get into the basket, finally get into a safe place. And you know what he does? He starts out with that speed right there. You know what he does? And he tries to do what he can do. And you know what he sees? When you start bringing those children to church, you know what he's going to do? He's going to go up to that next level. And you know what? This is exactly what our lives do. I've made a mess. Think about this. If you can picture this as our world, this is what the devil does with it. You say, I want you to take a good look at this. Take a good look at this right here. We think we are independent within our families. We think we are independent. I'm a dad. I'm a mom. I can live my life how I want to. Look at this. Just as real as we're connected with the body of Christ, we have brothers and sisters, and that's what holds us. I want you to pay close attention to something. There was something that didn't move. It was something that was connected to something else. The ones that were connected stayed right where they were supposed to be. They were in the same basket. They were in the same area. They were in the same position. But the ones that were by themselves, trying to beat the air by themselves, had not attached themselves to a covering, had not attached themselves to something. They were blown with the wind, and we think it's just us. I've got news to your mom. I've got news to your daddy. When that wind blows me, and I'm not connected with the body of Christ, you know what goes with me? It's that baby girl over there. When I think it'd be a whole lot easier just to live how I want and think how I want and do what I want. And you know what? That they can take care of themselves and they'll give an account of God. I've got news for you. It's too late. What's already been invested to those kids. And when I start to blow, I start to move to the left. I start to move out into the spaces that the devil is blowing me into. Guess what? I don't go by myself. All of a sudden I look back and my children are following me into my addiction. My children are following me into my frustrations, and they see the fights, and they see the struggle, and they see the world in my world of just turning upside down. And you know what? I look back, and somehow I wish I could change it, but there's only one way you can change it, and that's when a preacher, the Bible says, we're saved by the foolishness of preaching. And this preacher comes every Sunday one more time saying, can I pick up another one and get them back in the basket? Can I grab two more? I don't have very much time to work. And you know what? I'll never make a difference by myself. But if I can get you, and I can get you, if I could get you just to help me, let's see how many we can get put back in this basket just for a couple of moments. And all of a sudden, Brother Payne catches the vision. Sister Smith catches the vision. Sister Christiana catches the vision. You know what's happening? All of a sudden, we start to connect, and we start to realize I can't make a difference by myself. But when we start catching the vision of a lost and dying world, and when we all get them together, there's going to be something called the Spirit of God. It's going to cover us up. You think the world, you think things, you think life doesn't shake people. I've got news for you. If you've ever been shaken, this world's going to shake you today. Whether it's sickness, whether it's pain, whether it's doubt, whether it's fear, whether it's job transitions, whether it's just life itself. And all of a sudden you look at life and you realize, how in the world did I get here? I've got news for you. You didn't get there by yourself. The devil himself has shaken your world. The Bible says they're tossed about by every wind of doctrine. It's wind. You know what? The devil was the prince and palatine of the air. And you know why he blows those winds of doctrine? You know why he blows those winds of doubt? Thank you, y'all. I'll clean up the mess at the end of service. But there comes a point when you realize we've got a big job to do. And I want you to look at this. Out of all the ones, if Pastor would have just done it by himself in that 2 minutes, look how many lives were changed when more people got on board and said, you know what? I think we can make a difference. I can't do it by myself, but I made a difference in that one, and I made a difference in that one, and I made a difference in that one. The Bible says there's going to come a time. Here's what we've got to understand as a church. These are all loosely connected. They don't have a ministry. Hear me now. They don't have a Sunday school class to prepare for every Sunday that keeps them connected on Thursday and Friday. They're just still trying to just make it to church every Sunday. They don't have an in-depth prayer life yet. They don't fast 4 days a week because they're still trying to just to get stabilized in life. What we've got to recognize as a church, as we that are connected, are the ones that are supposed to protect those that aren't. There comes a point we realize there's some responsibility to living for God. And you know what the Bible says? They cared for one another's needs. They cared beneath for one another's prayers and their hurts and their fears and their doubts. And they said, you know what? You got a problem. I've got a problem. You've got a fear. I'll tell you who can fix that fear. I had the same fear when I walked into a church. And you know what? If God can change my life and he can do this for me. And you know what? Here's the deal. If I can have a baby girl sitting here living for God and going down to a church so she can be at two churches on Sunday, you know what? You can have it too. I'm not special. It's just because I fell in love with Jesus and I connected that girl to something beyond herself. And now when the winds come, they got to get by daddy. But if I haven't connected her to the body of Christ before she's of age, let me ask you, what's going to happen when the winds of life come? I should be preaching this Sunday school Sunday, shouldn't I? But the fact is, every Sunday matters. Every Sunday, you don't know what it is to get up with a burden. Thinking this may be the only chance, Brother Ryan, to make a difference in someone's life. I may never see them again before they stand before God. I may never ever have another chance to say, Jesus loves you. Simple thing that we can all utter. I may never have that chance again. My question for us is, when was the last time we stopped and realized, if we don't gather the dust, if we don't give them something to stick to, if we don't give them some stability in life, this is what their life is going to be. You know what the devil does? Every time they call the coroner, devil gathers another one. I stole them from a chance. I stopped them from a chance. I stopped them from a chance. Sometimes I wonder if the devil's working way harder than we are. Sometimes I wonder if we realize the power that's living within us. We have the ability to stop the winds. We have the ability to stop the infirmities. We have the ability to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. We have the ability to lay hands on those that are fighting things that they can't fight themselves and say, come out from them in the name of Jesus Christ and be delivered. We have the ability to cast out devils. And you know what? The Bible says that the devils recognize, why have you come to torment us before our time? They know their time. My question is, do we recognize our time? This is 2018. I'm closing in just a few moments. This baby girl, my window of influence is almost over. What's been invested has been invested. Some of you sitting here today have children that you are connected with. And when the devil knocks on your door and says it's too hard to get up on Sunday and put those kids in a car seat, take them to the church house. I want you to take a look at this right here and remember, what price is too much to pay for a child's soul? When we walk up and down these streets, we see the people that we pass every single day. My question for us, how much is too much of a cost to reach for their soul? Thank the Lord for a couple of elders that will reach into Scott's life. You know what they were saying? It's Wednesday night. We could be home drinking coffee, but we're going to stop and make a difference in somebody's life. You know what you were doing, sisters? He was picking up that one out of 2,700 people in this town, 13,000 in our county, and even more in Stark County, more in White County, more in Jasper County, more in Fulton County. And you know what? We're one of the closest churches to every single one of those. And there's only about three or four churches in every single one of those counties total. And you add them up, and it's probably close to 50,000 people in the surrounding counties. And you know what? It makes this preacher's voice seem awful dim and awful pale. But you know what we've got to do? We've got to stand on the rooftops. We got to stand on the mountaintops. And we've got to say, hey, have I told you lately? Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. I don't care how mad you messed it up. I don't care how far you've gone. Jesus still loves you. My question for us today is a very sobering question in all reality. And that's very simply, when the dust settles, there'll be a cloth that comes along. He'll gather the dust. The Bible says, let the tare grow with the wheat. But there'll be a gathering of the dust. My question for you is, when the dust is gathered, did it settle in the right place? Did I become content to go through life hoping at the end of my life I might make a change and find God? Or did I settle it in my spirit that I'm going to live for God? I may not be the most popular person in town. People may think I'm crazy. People may think I'm nuts because I go down there and I give money to that church. And everybody look at me and say, why in the world would you do that? You could have a new car. You could have a new house. You could have this. You could have that. And you know what? If you sit around and stare at the finances for a while and you look at what you give to God in a year, you know what? It will affect your mind. But there comes a point when you settle it in your spirit and say, you know what? My question is, how much is too much to see a soul saved? How much is to see a life saved? How much is it to see my grandbaby saved? How much is it to see my children saved? How much is too much? Isn't it funny? Some of you are guests here today, and I would never expose you or embarrass you in any form or fashion. But many of us come to church every Sunday. Many of us are connected, part of the body of Christ. But even Peter, Jesus looked at him. He said, Peter, you got to understand something. Satan desires to sift you as wheat. If you don't get it right, Peter, I don't care how connected to me you are. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how faithful you go everywhere I go, Peter. But hear me now, Peter. You've got to understand. Satan is desiring to sift you as wheat. He's got his mark on you, Peter. He recognizes. He wants to destroy you. And you know what the devil does? He pinpoints people of God. And you know what? If he can get that one piece away from the rest of the body, and all of a sudden, you know what? We're not connected together. You know what he'll do? He'll begin to tear us apart. He'll begin to pull us apart. He'll say, you know what? It's too much to go to that ladies' retreat. It's too much to go to that Sunday school. Men's, you got to work that weekend. I'm not sure men's work day is that important. You know what he's doing? He's separating you out. He's pulling you apart. And you know what? Once he separates you enough and the winds come along, it doesn't take very much. It doesn't take much shaking. I'm not a leaf blower, but isn't it amazing? We start to isolate ourselves, what the devil will do. I wonder if we could all stand. I'm coming to a close. Kids are going to come in and say, what in the world has Pastor done to this sanctuary? I want to ask us here today, how much is too much? When the dust settles in your life, let me ask you. The Bible says that same Spirit that quickened Jesus, it's the same Spirit that's going to quicken our mortal bodies to be changed to be with Him. If you don't have the Holy Ghost living inside of you, don't let the dust settle in that state. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, like Sister Honey is going to do today, let me tell you something. Without the blood of Jesus, there is no covering. You're vulnerable to every wind of doctrine. You're vulnerable to every temptation. Not only are you vulnerable, your children are vulnerable to every storm of life that comes. Let me ask you, is the risk worth taking it, knowing we're not guaranteed tomorrow? Every single person here today knows Pastor's a love preacher. He's a grace preacher. My wife says I'm too patient sometimes. I'm always glad she's not pastoring. But here today, God, I don't know why He gave me this message, but I really feel somebody in this place has been weighing in your mind where the dust is really going to settle. For some of you, I really feel in the Holy Ghost, God's been knocking on your door. God's been clamoring on your heart, just gently and subtly saying, what are you waiting on? I'm here. This is your moment. You know what that is? It's a calm in the storm that God's walked into your life that may never come again. There's a window of opportunity that God says, I'm knocking. If you will open the door, I will come in and sup with you. But there's going to come a day when the storms and the winds come. You won't hear my knock. You won't hear my voice anymore because you pushed it off. And the wind's too loud. And you're too far away from me. You can't hear my voice now. I'm still there. I'm still knocking. But you're too far from me. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed. As a pastor, take this lightly. I don't want anybody looking around but me. No one, please. If God's been knocking on your heart, I will tell you what I've told many. As a pastor, it's my responsibility to help you get to heaven in whatever form and way I can. That's my job, is to help get you to heaven. If God's been knocking on your door, how many of you would just slip your hand in the air and say, Pastor, God's been dealing with me. I'm not sure what to do with it. I'm not sure how to approach it. I don't even know how to explain it to my wife, my children, my family, my husband. But God's been knocking on my door, and I just can't seem to escape it. Thank you. Is there anyone else that would just slip your hand in the air and say, Pastor, I need you just to pray. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want a sign that says, God's dealing with me. Is there anyone else? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. I've seen hands all across this place here today. It's not an accident why God sent me here with this message today. It's because God hasn't forgotten who you are. Hasn't forgotten your zip code. He knows right where you're living. He still knows the hairs on your head. But today, the storms have calmed just long enough so you can hear the knock. And God's trying to tell somebody, don't let the dust settle there. Let me come in and sup with you. Is there anyone else that would like to gather around the front of this church in prayer? I'm going to do this a little different. You want to come with your wife and family. I want everybody praying with everybody else. I want us to pray with our families or by ourselves. We're by ourselves, but husbands and wives, come together. You don't have to kneel. You can stand. Just join hands here today and pray. We all know each other. I'm not going to embarrass nobody. We're just going to give you a chance to pray together as families. Can we just gather in, just around all around this front, and we're going to pray together. I didn't plan it this way, but it's convenient that our children are coming back in at this moment.